Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the lunatic as we pick up in Matthew chapter 17, verse 13. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
The people all wondered why Zechariah was in the temple so long. And because they were waiting outside, the people wait outside, and the priest would come out and give them God's blessings. And so they were waiting for that blessing. And man, he was in there, they watched the old sundial going down, and what's taking him so long, you know? And finally, when he came out, they were amazed that he wasn't able to give them the blessing. You know, he wasn't able to speak. He went back to the hill country. His wife Elizabeth conceived. And of course, John the Baptist was born. Now, when John began his ministry, he attracted many people, and they came out of the villages and out of the cities to be baptized and to hear his words. And because the people were gathering to him, there was a stir among the Pharisees and scribes and all, and they sent out certain men to him to find out where he got his authority to do these things. Who gave you the authority? Who are you anyhow? Are you the Messiah? No. Are you Elijah? He said, no. Yet Jesus is declaring, if you're able to receive it, this is Elijah, of whom the scriptures spake. Now, not the complete fulfillment, not the restoring of all things, the children to their fathers and the restoring of the religious order. That will come when Elijah comes again, preceding the coming of Jesus Christ during the time that just after the church is removed. So I have no anticipation of seeing Elijah, even as I have no anticipation of seeing the Antichrist. And I'm looking not for Elijah, I'm not looking for the Antichrist, I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come and take me to be with him. And then is when these other events will be triggered. So Elijah will come again. Jesus said that. Elijah shall indeed come first to restore all things. But Elijah has already come, Jesus said, and they did not know him, but have done to him whatever they wished, and they're going to do the same. So am I going to be suffering at their hands. Now, when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. The word in the Greek literally is he has been struck by the moon. Now, in those days, they felt that insanity was related to sleeping under a full moon. And thus the word lunatic, the word luna in Latin, of course, is moon. And this is a feeling that has existed for many centuries, even before Christ's time. They felt that there was some relationship to mental illness and the moon. There does seem to be some kind of a relationship between mental illness and the moon, because I know at full moon, it seems that all the loonies come out. In fact, so much so that during full moon, the first couple days before and after, we always take the phone off the hook at night, because all times during the night, we get phone calls from loonies during full moon. And it seems to be that it does something to them and activates some kind of weird trigger inside their brains that cause them to, at full moon, begin to react and all. So he is saying, have mercy on my son. He has been struck by the moon. There was insanity there. He is sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls in the fire and many times in the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, it is interesting that this, of course, is after the time that Jesus had given to his disciples power over unclean spirits. And they went out and ministered in this power, and they came back rejoicing that even unclean spirits were subject unto them. And Jesus said, don't rejoice that unclean spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they had exercised this power over unclean spirits, but here they seem to be unable to do so. I would like to point out one thing here that I think is quite significant, and I think that it's almost a rule. It seems to me that Satan is waiting at the bottom of the hill of every spiritual high experience that you may have. I know that after having a very beautiful spiritual experience, it seems that I am always tested and tried by the enemy. He tries to immediately come and rob you of that which God has given. You know, God just blesses you and you're so excited and thrilled. Oh, Lord, it's good to be here. Wow, this is glorious. I don't want to leave, Lord. I want to stay right here. But you've got to keep going. And so when you get to the bottom of the hill, it seems like Satan is just waiting there to smack you and to take away all of the glory and all of the blessing that you've just received. And so it is well to be armed and to realize that no matter how great my spiritual blessing, I do not have an immunity from the attacks of the enemy. That many times after our greatest blessings, he is there to try to distract, to destroy that which God has done. And so here is this father kneeling before Jesus, pleading for his son, and the disciples were unable to help him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So that which the disciples were unable to do, Jesus did immediately without a lot of hullabaloo. He just rebuked the devil and departed out of him. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? It's a good question, because they had been given authority and power, and here is one where they sought to do it, but were unable to do so. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind, that is this kind of faith, only goes out by prayer and fasting. Now, the disciples are wondering why they were powerless in this situation, and Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Now, in another gospel, it tells us that while they were bringing this boy to Jesus, the devil threw him on the ground. The devil that was possessing him threw him on the ground, and he began to wallow on the ground, and everybody began to run to see what was happening. And it was very possible that when they brought the young man to the disciples, that this demon manifested himself probably in some dramatic way before the disciples, and they became so amazed at the power of the demons and the demon's ability to so distort and destroy a life that they lost sight of the power of God. And many times when we are observing the power of Satan and the work of the enemy, by just our observation, unbelief begins to fill our hearts. We're so amazed at the power of Satan to destroy a life that we forget the tremendous power of God, which is greater. There are some very interesting stories of demonic activity, even in this 20th century. One of the most outstanding of all of them was of Teresa, who was in protective custody in the Bilibid prison in the Philippines because of these demons that would attack her and bite her all over her body. When the attack was over, she would end up with bite marks on the back of her neck and on her back, places where it was totally impossible for her to bite herself. She was in solitary confinement in a padded cell, but yet these attacks would take place. The finest psychiatrists in all of the Philippines were brought to treat her, and none of them could do her any good. They finally suggested that they call for an American missionary, and at this time, Reverend Summerall and Bob McAllister were brought in to deal with the girl, Teresa. As they came in, these demons began to attack her. They saw her in one of these fits and these bloody bite marks beginning to break out all over her body. And you look at something like that, and I'll tell you, suddenly, unbelief begins to arise. I mean, you believe in Satan and Satan's power. You think, wow, you know, that's horrible. Look at that. And it begins to strike sort of fear and terror in your own heart. But these men fasted and prayed, and they were able, through the power of the name of Jesus, to command these evil spirits to leave her. When Teresa was freed, she told then Lester Summerall and Bob McAllister how that these demons had been molesting her sexually, and how that whenever any man would approach her, that's when they would attack her, because they were insanely jealous of any man approaching her. And that's when they would begin their attack on her body. And they warned her that when demons are cast out, they will come back and try and re-inhabit the body. And when they come back, that she was just to claim the victory of Jesus and call on the name of Jesus and all. Which, in a couple of days, these demons did come back, and she began to go into this fit, calling upon the name of Jesus and all, and she was delivered completely. A very interesting and fascinating story. It was written up actually in Life magazine, not her deliverance, just her case, because it was in the psychiatric annals. And her deliverance, of course, is told by Lester Summerall in his book called Bitten by Demons. He was the minister that God used, he and Bob McAllister, to set Teresa free. But when you see this kind of demonic activity, it does just, you know, you become so sort of captured by the power of demon activity. It has a tendency of just sort of diminishing your faith. But thank God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we do have authority over all of these forces and powers. And as children of God, we don't need to fear. We don't need to be in a position of oh my, did you see that? Or oh, isn't that awful? But we have authority and power through Jesus Christ over every force and power of darkness. And so Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. That's why you couldn't do it. Because if you just had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain over there, be removed and cast in the sea. It makes you wonder just how much faith do we have. Howbeit, Jesus said, this kind only goes out by fasting and prayer. That is, this kind of faith. Or it could be referring to this kind of a demon. It could have been a demon of greater authority and power, because demons are ranked in authorities and powers. And while they were still there in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Now, he told them this over and over. He was telling them this. He's on his road now to the cross. These are his final days. He's in Galilee, but soon they'll be journeying towards Jerusalem, and he's on the road to the cross, and so he's warning them over and over, you know, I'm going to be slain, they're going to kill me, I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to kill me, but the third day I'll rise again. Well, by the time Jesus said they're going to kill me, there was this thing that went on in their minds. Oh, no, you know, and they never heard, and I'm going to rise again the third day. Somehow they have blanked that out. It wasn't until after his resurrection that they began to remember. Well, yeah, he said he was going to rise the third day, didn't he? Well, right, you know. But they didn't remember that part until after his resurrection. It's interesting how that so many times we hear some shocking news and our minds just sort of blank out with shock. And we don't hear the rest of the story. We don't record it. It doesn't sink in. We're so shocked by what we heard. And whenever Jesus would talk about his death, it was so shocking to them because, you know, if he dies, then how am I going to be prime minister? And they were so upset by his talk of his death that they just didn't pick up the fact that he was also saying, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And it is interesting, on the third day, none of them were looking for his resurrection. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. But notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea and cast in your hook and take up the fish that you first catch. And when you have opened his mouth, then you'll find a piece of money. Take it and give it to them for both of our taxes. I love this. Once a fisherman, always a fisherman. Necessary to pay your taxes. Now, Jesus could have said to Peter, now go dig over under the tree, you know, and you'll find a coin in the dirt or something. But what fisherman wants to be digging holes unless he's digging for worms? He tells him to do something he enjoys doing, something that Peter just really loved. He loved fish. So the Lord says, well, let's combine a little pleasure with business. Go fishing, Peter. Cast your hook in, and the first fish that you catch when you pull it up, open his mouth, take out the coin, and go pay our taxes for us. You know, serving the Lord can be the most delightful thing in the world. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God doesn't lay some heavy, horrible burden upon us and say, all right, carry that, you know. He delights to do good things for his children. God just delights doing good things for you. Now, you who are fathers, if your son should come up to you and say, well, Dad, you know, I've just been thinking this morning how neat it is to live here at home. You pay all the bills. You give me money for my clothes. I don't have to worry about the light bills. I don't have to worry about food. It's always on the table. It's been so neat living here at home, Dad. I really appreciate all you've done for me. And I was just thinking, Dad, and just to show my appreciation, today I want to do anything you want me to do. I just want to show you how thankful I am. Now, which of you fathers, if you had a son who came to you and said such a thing, would not, first of all, faint? But when they threw the water on you and you recovered, what do you think you would say to your son who has come to you in such appreciation, giving himself totally to your disposal? Would you try to think of the rottenest, most miserable job that he has been slacking on for months? All right, I've got you where I want you, you know. First of all, start with those smelly garbage cans and scour them, get them clean, you know, and lay out all of these miserable tasks. I don't think so. If you're anything like me, I would be so pleased to see this attitude in my son. I'd want to make this a great day for him. I love him. He may not be as appreciative as he should, but I still love him. And the fact that he is showing some appreciation, I'd want to do something good for him. I'd say, well, why don't we just forget everything today and let's go water skiing? Or, you know, I hear the surf's up. Why don't we get our boards and go down and we'll spend a day at the beach, you know? I'd want to do those things that he would delight and be pleased in. And, you know, our Heavenly Father is no different. When you come to God and say, oh, Lord, I appreciate so much being your child. You've taken such good care of me, and I really thank you and appreciate all you've done. I don't have to worry because you're watching over me, and I just want to give myself to you completely. Whatever you want me to do, Father, you know, I'm available to you. Well, God doesn't think of all the miserable, nasty, rotten things. Now I'm going to, you know, do this, do that, and make you rue the day that you committed your life fully to him. He says, hey, why don't you go fishing? That is, if you enjoy fishing. He lets you do the things you like to do. He delights in giving good gifts to his children.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 17 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord enrich you in all good things in Christ Jesus. May he fill you with the knowledge of his love and his grace. And may you walk in fellowship with him. And may the Lord continue his work in your life as he draws you unto himself, as he cleanses you through his word, as he fits you and prepares you for that work that he would have you to do in touching the needy world around. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Children love stories, so it is with great honor to tell you about a children's book written by Pastor Chuck called The Story of the Ten Commandments. Just listen to what people are saying. Cheryl Broderson.
I love these stories, and it's a pleasure for me to know that you get to hear my dad tell you the very same stories that he told me as a child.
Pastor David Guzik.
I think that a book by Pastor Chuck is perfect for children because they'll sense the true love of not just a father, but a great grandfather, and how much he loves to pass on the love of Jesus to a young generation.
Pastor Pancho Juarez.
I am so blessed to be part of this book by Pastor Chuck. I love it when kids read in their own level. I hope parents take advantage of this, and may the Lord bless you.
And as a gift, each book contains a CD of Pastor Chuck reading the story of the Ten Commandments. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. Or to see a sneak preview of the book, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.